The movie The Passion of the Christ struck a great chord with many Christians. The movie is based on Gibson's interpretation of the biblical account of the suffering of Jesus. Violence, bruising, and blood dominated the silver screen. But is something missing in the Passion movie? Something that's important for Christians to understand about the life and death of Jesus the Christ. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Few movies have created the controversy that has surrounded The Passion. Mel Gibson's movie was a box office smash. It drew the third largest one-week box office revenue in movie history. Some churches showed it to their parishioners in private settings. Of course, this isn't the first blockbuster to center on the life of Jesus. David Palmer reports.
The first major movie to portray the life of Jesus was entitled King of Kings, released in 1961. In an attempt to be instructive, the producers had Orson Welles deliver informative narration helpful to those who hadn't read the New Testament in a while. The movie was made with backgrounds that resembled Southern California more than Palestine and a European and American cast, including a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus and an Irish-accented Mary. No question that the first major attempt at portraying the life of Jesus had the stamp of Hollywood. The greatest story ever told, a huge, epic movie, starred several notable Hollywood actors. The movie, released in 1965, follows the life of Jesus from his birth in a stable in Bethlehem to his teachings with his disciples all the way to his crucifixion and resurrection. However, the greatest story ever told was, in the words of many critics, another sanitized Hollywood version. Then in 1977, Hollywood produced a motion picture entitled Jesus of Nazareth. In this movie, passages of the Bible are quoted verbatim. While nowhere near as graphic as The Passion, this movie did show some dramatic crucifixion scenes. There have been a few other attempts at making the story of Christ come to life on the big screen, including the motion picture The Last Temptation of Christ. And of course, there was the Broadway musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. Gary?
David Palmer from the Good News News Desk. When it comes to movies about Jesus, historians discuss the details, theologians argue the meaning, and in the case of The Passion, many people were shocked by the degree of violence of a Roman scourging and crucifixion. But in all this hoopla, is there something many Christians are missing about Jesus' suffering and death? We're going to discuss The Passion's missing dimension on today's program. To help us in today's challenge, we're joined by longtime minister for the United Church of God and senior writer for the Good News magazine, Gerald Oss. Gerald, it's good to have you back.
Thanks, Gary. Glad to be with you.
Now, as a Christian minister, of course, you have a great deal of interest in the person of Jesus and, of course, his life and his crucifixion. What is your reaction to the controversy and the phenomenon surrounding Mel Gibson's movie?
Two words, stunned and perplexed. Stunned because it seems, Gary, that society is becoming more and more jaded to violence in movies. That the fact this movie is a box office smash suggests, of course, that society will pay good money to see more violence and gore. Makes no difference if it depicts their savior. Perplexed because conservative Catholics and evangelicals who publicly oppose and denounce violence in films view this movie's violence and bloodletting as acceptable as long as Jesus is the one who is doing the suffering and receiving the violence. Reason seems to be that savagery against Jesus Christ might make Christians and non-Christians alike come to appreciate his sacrifice.
You know, of course, the beating that he took in his crucifixion was much more brutal than most Christians realize. And the movie accurately, in many ways, depicts the brutality of his beating, of punching, of being scourged, of being crucified. Isn't this good, though, that people see the actual violence of Jesus' death so that they can better understand?
You know, if the movie helps people begin to realize the savagery that Jesus went through as a sacrifice for sins, well, then I think that can be a good thing. But I believe preachers can miss the point as they kind of take great advantage of Gibson's graphic portrayal of Jesus' final 12 hours on earth.
What do you mean by miss the point?
Well, there are a number of ways this movie can miss the point of why Jesus was killed and what our human response is to that sacrifice. For example, one evangelical minister said that this is the time for evangelicals to seize the moment, take advantage of the movie, in order to, whoops, here it comes, fill their churches. Even that, in my mind, misses the point. On balance, it's good to acknowledge the painful, excruciating death of Jesus Christ. With or without Gibson's movie, the Bible is clear that Jesus was beaten more than any other man, and that his face was so disfigured that he was nearly unrecognizable by those who knew him. The point, I think, Mr. Gibson and theologians and ministers miss is that they are marketing Christianity. Well, you can even purchase Passion of Christ posters and mugs.
But you know what's wrong with that, as long as it leads people to a commitment to Christ?
That's fantastic if that is what actually happens. The reality is, though, that many people equate religion mostly with emotion. Now, God works on logic and emotion. He tells us that only He, the Father, can call human beings to Him. Personal circumstances, even a movie, can help set the stage. We'll give this for a person to become willing to listen to God. But I remind our listeners that even after the shocking events of 9/11 caused more people to attend churches, at least for a while, but check it out now. Many of those same people who also stopped attending church when the emotional impact faded away. It's a point here. After the shock of 9/11 wore off, people continued to live as they did before 9/11. It is yet to be seen if the impact of this movie will produce lifelong commitments or just temporary emotional responses. Momentary shocking events can get our attention. But keeping our attention, well, that's another story entirely, Gary. Now, look, for example, what the gospel writers say about the life of Christ. God used miracles to get people's attention through Jesus Christ himself as he walked the dusty roads of Galilee. Most of those people who walked with him followed him. They never went any further than finding out what Jesus was offering, what he was giving that day. And this takes us to John 6:44, where Jesus said that people can only become Christians after God calls them. If after God's calling they're truly convicted of God's truth, then, and I might add only then, can God choose them as one of his disciples. So there's a process.
You know, that's something interesting to think about. Jesus did all those miracles, which probably had much of the same impact as this movie on people as far as shock value. But after the shock wore off, what happened?
Good point.
Did you walk out of the Passion emotionally stirred? But let me ask you a question. How much has your life changed since then? You know, we have a fantastic booklet that we're offering today on how God wants you to respond to His Son and His sacrifice. It's titled Jesus Christ, The Real Story. We're offering it today free. And we're going to tell you how to get your free copy, and then we'll be back to discuss more about the Passion's missing dimension.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We've been discussing Mel Gibson's blockbuster movie, The Passion of Christ, taking a little different viewpoint of it. You know, Gerald, before the break, you said that there was a missing dimension in the movie.
Correct.
It's shocking. It has incredible emotional impact. There's some very accurate parts to it. But the missing dimension is that a movie can convict you, but it can't actually convert somebody. Now, you made a good point when you reminded us that even the shocking events of 9/11 wore off, how the very miracles that Jesus performed shocked people,
but
it didn't lead many of them to conversion. So I want to go back to something we were discussing in the last segment. You said something that about how only God can call someone to become a Christian and that we don't make Christians out of ourselves. So my question is it possible then that this movie could create a positive emotional response towards Christ without that person actually becoming a Christian?
You know, if human beings contrive any kind of religious event in order to, quote-unquote, make Christians out of them, my point is that that will surely fail. You can't make Christians through a set of business techniques or marketing plans, no matter how genius they might be. You can use media to convict or educate, but becoming a true Christian is more than an emotional experience. It also includes logic. People can use the name of Jesus, but simply do not obey him. Many people confess to know Jesus, but the reality is that not many people really know what he taught. To really accept Jesus as Savior, a person must also accept him as Lord and Master. One Christian minister said, Gary, in essence, that he didn't care so much whether the movie was perfectly accurate in all aspects of Jesus' passion, but that preachers should take advantage of the movie to church people. Those are my words. Now, true Christianity is first about a fundamental relationship with God, not just filling pews with warm bodies.
So then what you're saying is it is actually possible to profess to be a Christian, to profess a knowledge of Jesus, and really not know him as Christ and the Savior.
Precisely. For example, it is common to see in tracts aimed at the unchurched the proclamation that they can't be saved unless they find Jesus and confess him in their lives. Now, Gary, what does that mean? The Bible says that it's possible to preach a form of Christianity, but to deny the very power of it. The bottom line is that preachers and lay members alike can't find Jesus Christ because it's all about Christ finding them. God reaches down into the sewer, the dregs, or the utter weakness of humanity, and through his grace gives us access to have a relationship with him. No professing Christian can somehow climb up into heaven and initiate a relationship with God. Jesus Christ came to this earth, became as one of us, and died to initiate a relationship with a lost and dying humanity. This may seem like a minor point, but if we think that we can find God, then why can't we also believe our relation with him, no matter how that is, somehow acceptable? Any relationship any human being has with God is solely due to God's favor, not based on how we approach him.
I find it interesting you say that we can't find Jesus Christ, he finds us. And I think a lot of people think somehow we discover him, we find him.
That's right.
And the truth is that God must do something to us and for us because we're not able to go to God and say, hey, I'm here, I'm equal, here's me, I'm a great guy.
Take me.
It doesn't work that way. Right. I want to go back to the movie a minute.
Yeah.
In essence, you've argued that it would be unusual for the movie to convert anyone. It can convict someone, but it can't convert them. Now, why do you say that?
Well, the simple answer, Gary, is nothing we do. No movie, no piece of literature, no publication, no book, no religious radio program can convert anyone. The longer answer involves a salvation process God, as you've mentioned earlier, has given to human beings for conversion. We really got to get over the false notion that just because someone has this good feeling that he or she wants to become a Christian, well, that settles the matter. That's not possible, especially in God's eyes. One more time. Human beings cannot, by feelings or willpower, make themselves a Christian without God first initiating the process.
Yeah, that's interesting. God must first do something. We talk about the grace of God all the time. You know, God, God, as you said, pulls us out of the sewer. But I really do think a lot of people think that somehow they discover Christ and it's like they invite him into their lives instead of the opposite happening.
Yeah. Excellent point. You know, Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're named after him. He made clear in John 6:44 that no one can come to him, to Jesus Christ, unless God the Father first draw or call him or her. Our very Savior, the one who suffered the passion, tells us that we cannot make ourselves Christian on our own terms. Precisely what you said a moment earlier. God calls us on his terms. Human beings are not used to someone else calling the shots, especially in this country when it comes to their religion. You know that. God says there is no other way to come to him unless and until he calls us.
Okay, God calls us through his grace, but does that require anything on our part?
Well, God calls us or draws us to him and opens our minds so that we can see him and understand his word, the Bible, as we've never seen it before. No movie can do this. All of a sudden, we come to realize that we are fleshly, selfish, and he, God, wants us to be spiritually minded and sacrificing. Tough words. God then expects us to repent or change from our former self-willed way of thinking and living. Then he gives us his faith through the Holy Spirit so we can be convicted of and love his holy laws. Now, I realize that's a mouthful, Gary, because most Christians do not believe that they have any need to keep the Ten Commandments. So what we see here are just two major steps that God requires for us to become true Christians. God calls, we obey.
So to truly be a Christian, a person must have a lot more than just an emotional feeling about Jesus.
Right.
A person must first be called by God, which is the work of his grace, and then we must respond with repentance and obedience. So I want to talk about the Ten Commandments. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? What was the real message he brought? To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
We're back on Good News Radio discussing Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. We have with us in our Good News studio Gerald Oss, a longtime minister of the United Church of God and senior writer for the Good News Magazine. In the last segment, you mentioned that God requires Christians to repent and obey, and you talked about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of Christians disagree with the concept that we Christians should keep the Ten Commandments. They would argue that if you try to obey the Ten Commandments, you're actually frustrating God's grace and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. Now, how would you answer that? How would you respond to that?
Boy, that is an important point, and, you know, I'm with people in this regard. I understand where they're coming from. I'd simply point them to Jesus' teachings and to the writing of, for example, Jesus' half-brother James. And I'm going to explain that here. Jesus said that there was no way that he came to get rid of God's holy laws. You find that in Matthew 5. Let me read it. Do not think, Jesus said, that I, Jesus, came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it's all fulfilled. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is very pro-law. And James wrote these words about the law and, of course, faith in God's grace and promises. Reading from James 2. Thus also faith by itself, James wrote, if it does not have works, it's dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons, they believe and tremble. But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And, Gary, this doesn't even get into Paul's writings that confirm the fact that grace doesn't go away when Christians keep God's law. Both in the letter and the spirit, just doesn't happen.
Okay, so it's clear that God's grace calls us because we're not worthy of going to God and forcing some kind of relationship. Obviously, repentance is important where the person changes their old way of living and actually applies Jesus' shed blood for the forgiveness of sin and becomes Christ-like. And so then obedience to God is very important in that. It's not a way of earning something. It's a way of responding to God. But how important, change the subject a little bit here, but it's related. How important is baptism and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit involved in this?
Boy, it's vitally important. Most Christians, Gary, don't fully realize that what is required of them to be a Christian. Mostly they don't think anything's required of them. Well, let's make one thing clear. No person can earn Christianity by keeping God's law. I'll be the first to tell you that. That's a given. As well, no one can become a Christian without keeping God's laws. Paul said that the law, that's God's law, those are the Ten Commandments, they're holy and just and good, that a New Testament Christian must keep them in order to be saved. A person can't be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, but Christians must also have the mind of Christ developed in them in order for Christ to resurrect and change them to immortality. Here's a point. Keeping God's laws shows God that human beings love Him enough to follow Him and to keep His laws so that they can have the peace and prosperity that He wants them to have. The movie, The Passion of Christ, can never, ever change a non-Christian into a true Christian. Can't even change a professing Christian into a true Christian. Of course, if God is actually calling a person, to be sure, the movie might in some way strike an emotional chord for him or her to deeply repent of his or her sins that caused Jesus' passion in the first place. A movie like The Passion can be a minor catalyst for conviction, but it cannot cause conversion. Only God in the Bible can do this.
And I think this is a very important subject that people need to understand in the environment that we live in, where something like this movie can create such excitement, but it wears off.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
You're so right.
You know, Gerald, thanks for joining us today on Good News Radio.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Despite the graphic lessons from the movie The Passion, the movie of itself can't convert anyone. But, you know, neither can a religious program, a religious book. Only God can change the heart and mind of a person who is willing to change and have faith in Jesus Christ. That is the missing dimension in any movie about the life of Jesus. You know, if you really want to know what it's like to be a true Christian, you need to read Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It's a free call, 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. From the email box, Maria writes from Akron, Ohio, quote, I thought your GN broadcast on what Jesus looked like was very well done. I was so surprised when you were referring to the Nazarite vow that you used he or she. I went and looked it up, and sure enough, it was man or woman who could commit to this vow. Wow. Maria, that's one of the amazing realities about the Bible. A person can study this one book for an entire lifetime and never know everything that's contained in its pages. If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we may read your email on the air, both the good and the bad, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? Well, there's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's always up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.